Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here was our assignment from yesterday. Answer this very non-Zen question. Why do you want to work with this particular issue, RL? Note, the obvious answer is, I don't want to suffer. So we encourage you to go beyond the obvious answer. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Janice from a very heavily frosted Victoria.
Winter is striking. What are you seeing?
Besides all the little birdies in the garden that we're feeding, I'm seeing that I constantly show up. I want to practice because it's the joy of my life.
It's not, yes, ending suffering is a grand and glorious thing, but it's really for the joy. It's not going for a loss of something, getting rid of something. It's being with the joy that is our authentic nature.
Yes, and I've just, the last month, when it was work, I looked at things and I thought, well, for sure, like, you know, getting pay for work. And I realized, like, well, I'm a caregiver, but I don't get paid. And then I thought, it isn't even work. It's that I just do that out of love. All it is love. And so then I sort of switched it up and then went, well, what about practice? Because practice gives me joy. So I mean, a commitment to, and I'm committed to a lot of things, and I do show up. And I watched how conditioning had the same story it had with any of the other things. It's that I'm a fraud. So I did a bunch of fraud busting recordings.
Who are you going to call? That's great.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah. It was just like, it was the same story. And sometimes it really gets me, not to let anybody know I can't, you know, I couldn't really read as a child or, you know, and then I went, well, that's ridiculous. That's what made me a really good teacher because I had a different approach. And then I practiced and I get better and it doesn't have to be like anybody else. And I thought, that's the same thing. Like, I don't have to compare to some idea in my head. All I have to do is practice, and the results in my heart are the things that, I don't know, they enlighten me and make me feel alive.
Right. Well, it's a redirecting the attention, right? Because what you're not doing is letting egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, drag you into a conversation in conditioned mind where you're being compared unfavorably, and which is what you've seen, right? It's whatever it is, that whatever the subject is, ego will compare you unfavorably as long as you let it. And so realizing that if love is what we are about, then all of that just falls away. It just falls away. So if I love flower arranging, mm-hmm. which by the way I don't, so I don't know why that dropped in. But say I did, yeah. Then it wouldn't matter how anybody else arranged flowers. I'm not doing it for a product that's going to be compared to something else. I'm just arranging flowers because I love to arrange flowers.
Right.
Yep. Which is what you're seeing. And of course, the beauty of us being in this last session is, as you indicated, you've seen ego try to do that to you with every content that we've been through. Because it doesn't have new things to do to us, depending on what we're doing, It doesn't. It's got one. It's got one thing. Try to put you down. Try to make you feel bad. Try to separate you. Try to get you to focus on it instead of love.
Yeah, it's
so
like
very
a big,
good.
Big
well
scratch
done.
And, just big scratch in the record that just kind of goes over and over and over, repeating
yes.
that thing. And it's so mean and nasty.
Oh.
And it's unbelievable. And then I imagine I did a little fraud busting thing about, you know, when any of us are born as a baby, we do not come as, you know, a product of being a fraud.
Right, right.
You know,
it's
we're obvious
there's nothing wrong with us. It's so obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's also so obvious how all of us get abused by the same sins of the fathers that it has been coming down for as long as there have been human beings, which is one of the things, of course, that we get to see in practice. Yeah, it's not blame our parents, right? The same thing happened to them and happened to their parents and happened to their parents. As far back as there have been human beings, this process has been going on. So now we get to put an end to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
We're very lucky.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of you who are celebrating it out there in America.
Yes, thank you, thank you. And
we were a little earlier. We have to get ours in October before the frost.
Yeah, exactly. Well, with global climate change, who knows? We might be all celebrating around September sometime. Who can say?
Who can say?
All right. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you so much, and thank you to everybody.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Janice. There was something that was so big that I saw in that, and it went completely out of my mind.
It was so big it couldn't linger there. It just had to...
here it is. It's that...
All right.
So there's such a conditioned process of looking to why I want to end suffering, that the why is ending... Why tends to become an ego place, and defined in transcending ego. But when we really look at what our why is for spiritual practice, it's to experience ourselves as one with life, to be completely present to what Janice was pointing us to. There's so much joy in being here. That's why I want to practice. That's why I want to resolve anything that stands in the way of my suffering.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a beautiful reframe, right?
Yeah, because as we were looking at with Janet yesterday, happiness is our authentic nature, right? So of course we want to be here. As soon as we catch on to that, then, you know, who wants to focus on what's wrong with you?
That's right. Right. There's some way, I think this is something that we've been pointing us to look at, is that to reframe it from the perspective of life calls forth the life impulse. Because if we look at, oh my God, I've got to, you know, do all this to wake up and end suffering and go up against ego, it's not exactly a joyful reason.
Right.
What's my motivation? It's like, I have no choice. But to look at really what is seeking, the reframe of looking at that is what brings all the life force and the willingness back to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's so good. What drew us to practice, right? And almost everybody, at least everybody I think that I've ever talked to, has had a honeymoon period in practice, right? So excited, so lit up. And then, of course, ego comes in and begins to take it away in this very way. Well, you're not this, and you didn't that, and what about that? You didn't that, and right? That same comparison that it did to us all of our lives, and we lose that joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the moment I watched it happen, the moment that the reframe happened, I was touching into this into what was seeking, as opposed to what was not there that I was seeking, and that itself is the redirect of attention.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
What are you seeing?
A lot. Yeah, yesterday's call really kind of stuck with me. There was a lot of talk about, bringing the attention to, the process that I'm in rather than what conditioning wants it to be on. And as I've been looking at this, I'm really happy to have this as the practice focus for this last round this year, because I've been watching, and this is my focus this year, this session, is how conditioning uses practice as a cudgel to keep me from being here. One of the things specifically I've been looking at this year and really practicing with is when I'm engaged in something that isn't a formal practice, how conditioning will do this little thing of look over here, here's a practice you need to be doing right now, a formal practice, meditating, recording and listening, whatever it is. And it's not because it wants me to do those things. It just doesn't want me to be here.
Yeah. It will truly use anything, right? It'll even use, you should be meditating. That's funny.
Yeah, and as I said that, I had to question that because and maybe you can help me with this, but it doesn't really want me to be, it wants me for itself. It doesn't want me away from anything else. It just wants my attention. And the thing that I've been using more and more as my example, and people getting tired of these in different practice realms, but, I have a cat that's like a dog. It needs to be petted constantly, and it asks for it. It demands it. And I was watching how I'd be doing that, and then here's this other thing. You need to be recording, listening. You need to be working. Whatever the thing is, and really just practicing with. Okay, I'm going to sit down and pet this cat's belly because if not this, what? if I'm not. If the thing that's calling my attention in this moment, I'm not bringing my attention to, what is the point of any of this?
Yeah. Oh, that is so good. Yeah. Yeah. And what I was looking at as you were describing that, Bob, is how ego will use anything, right? And so for a long time, if it said, you should be meditating, you would feel bad. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's the point of that. But now you actually want to meditate. Right. It's gone from the you should be meditating to no, meditation is something I love. It's something I want to do. OK, that'll get his attention. Say that that's what you need to be doing now. Right. Because you might fall for that because you do love it and you do want to do it. Right. So your point is the salient one, that it will use anything. And the other half of that is, if we're not doing in the moment, responding to in the moment, what life is suggesting for us, then we have truly missed the point.
Yeah, yeah. And I've seen that over time that so if there's if there's an assignment, right, for one of the, any daily assignments. So if I can read it and then I can go to the conditioning thing and say, okay, what am I going to write about? What am I going to read about? What am I going to RNL about? What's the answer here? Mm-hmm. When instead, I could bring my attention to conditioning is trying to get me to do this in this way. Because that's the process that I'm in at that moment. And so I, and then when I'm actually present as I'm reading it, the answer is always sort of read it, do nothing, and read it again later, do nothing, and then something will drop in.
Yes. Oh, that is so important. That ego, the conditioning, how it controls people is that, look over there. Look over there. Look over there. So what's directing us through life is never seen. right? Because we're trained to look over there when it says look over there. So, So how should you approach this? Instead of, where is that question coming? That's interesting, right? Yeah. Oh, that is big. And for us all to get that that's happening all the time. There is, ego is always running or attempting to run a scam that is meant to take our attention away from it and put it on something else that it can present as a problem.
Great.
What's happening now? What's happening now? Right? What's happening now?
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bob. You know, what I was finding so helpful in that conversation, right, Jerry, is the ability, we were touching on this yesterday, to see the process I'm in, but to see it on a process level rather than a content level. Otherwise, I'm going to believe that there is a problem to be solved.
Yes. So, that I'll turn that process into content.
That's right. So I love the way Bob identified it as a bamboozle, right? The distraction is an ego process. And so there's a way in which if I am with the cat, then that is what I'm with. Now, if the thought comes in about meditating, it's like, we fall for it, right? Because I should be meditating. I'm a good person. I'm a practitioner. I should meditate.
Well, and I have this time.
Why are you wasting time with the cat, right? Or all of those that the what it's pointing to becomes the focus of the attention to do. But if I'm able to stay in the moment and recognize that meditation and petting a cat are not the thing, that I'm not sitting on the cushion. Now, if I'm sitting on the cushion and it talks to me about the cat, then I want to know that I'm here meditating, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's that it's so rapid that we don't see the process. It's the process of it as a deflection of the attention in the moment.
Yeah, and what you mentioned a minute ago is distraction, which is what it's constantly trying to get us to do. But it's a process of distraction. And what it does to a lot of folks is, well, distraction is reading novels or watching television or being on the internet, or that's distraction. So distraction becomes content rather than what you're pointing at, which is distraction as a process, which is what Bob described.
Yes, of moving the attention from here to it.
Yeah. Woo! Oh, we get into some good places, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. The whole fun of it. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Goli from California.
Hello, Goli. What are you seeing?
What I'm seeing is why I want to work with the issue of spiritual practice is because I get talked out of it a lot, and I want to have something for myself that no one can take away from me. So, you know, someone has written here that I want to have an intimate relationship with the person that I have right here and right now, because I'm always, I mean, everything is okay, but the ultimate happiness, of course, is out there.
Yeah.
In the form of something or someone. And even though I've done this thing so many times, I still find myself, you know, running around chasing out there. And so.
Yeah. So we, Goli, I think it was on this, in this program that we were talking about meditation as being the most wonderful time to be with ourself. right? Because mm-hmm. it's a time that we set aside. There's nothing else going on. When we're really present, then it doesn't actually matter what's happening. We're together, right? It's mm-hmm. It's kind of one step deeper, if you will, from a two-handed recording, right? So in a two-handed recording, we're talking. You know, I'm talking to, you're talking to Goalie, right? Uh-huh. And spending time with her and getting to know her, and it's unconditional. It doesn't matter what's going on with her. You're just talking. And then when you sit down to meditate, then you're just with her. And maybe another way to do that is just to sit in a chair, right? Just sit in a chair and be with her. Just spend whatever. Then maybe you have a cup of tea together and nothing else is going on, right? You're not thinking about anything else. You're not, all your attention is on her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, and as you're saying that, I mean, I'm allowed to have that experience, because as soon as I have a cup of tea, then the mind goes to, okay, now what would be good to have with a cup of tea? Because a cup of tea on its own is just, you know, so uninteresting. So should we have a cookie or should we have a date? And then now, oh my gosh, we don't have any cookies. Should we go out and buy some, or should we, you know, just make do? So it's just, again, with the chasing, and...
Yes. And, you know, Goalie, I'm just going to say this, and then next time, you know, you'll let me know what happens with you about this. But one of the things, one of the things with a relationship, okay, so you've got that special person in your life, and you're looking at little things that you can do, you know, little ways to say, I really care about you, you're important to me, I'm thinking about you. You know, that's a part of an intimate relationship with somebody else, right? And mm-hmm. and that's what she doesn't get. And so mm-hmm. rather than sitting down with a cup of tea and there's nothing in the house that she enjoys with her cup of tea, you take on making sure there's always something in the house that she enjoys. Because being talked out of that, because there's something else more important, because you just don't think of it, because it just didn't occur to you. Yeah, you were at the store, but you never thought, okay? That is such a clear signal that she's not important. That's where that comes from. You know, it's not an accident that people forget or don't think of doing those things. It's not an accident. It's a result of distraction, that same distraction we were just talking about. You know, so you're at the store and it would drop in, okay, now what are those things that would make it nice, right? That would be an indication that this time together is really important to me. And instead, you're thinking about that email you need to send, or that meeting that you're going to have, or that paper you need to work on, or whatever the heck it is that's going on. But you're not mm-hmm. there at the time when it's a time to be with her. So she gets left out, and then, of course, the voices say, well, you need somebody else. You know, if you had somebody else, if there was somebody else, they would do all these little things for you and make you feel special, and that's what would happen. But you don't have that. And the reality is, I think this is the reality anyway, that mm-hmm. if you had somebody else in your life who was in the role of providing those things and you weren't there for yourself in the way that I'm describing, that person wouldn't last very long at all. And it wouldn't mean anything. Because there, as Schwinney talks about it, there are no receptors in place. So we have to create the receptors so that we are taking in everything that life is offering us. Does that all hang together?
Yes, it does. Yes. We have to practice up. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Thank you, Goli. Okay.
Thanks, Goli. Sherry, we have time for one more caller, but there's something that dropped in around that, which is I truly have to be disidentified from me in order to have a love affair with me.
Yes, yes. You have to get rid of your primary intimate relationship with ego.
That's right, because if I'm, mm-hmm. I mean, it's so natural. If there's somebody special in my life when I'm at the grocery store, I am going to be focused on what I might do that would be special for them. But I'm mm-hmm. in the process of being in relationship with someone there, which is why it drops in. If I'm mm-hmm. in relationship with ego there, even if there's someone in my life that is special, it won't drop in.
That's right.
And
that's
so there
exactly
is
it.
A way in which we have to practice relating to the person we want the relationship with. That's also
yes.
a process.
Yes, yes. And there's one step past that, right? Not only will, in this case, we talk about you, not only will you not, it won't drop in when you're at the store, and it'll drop in at all kinds of other places as a, oh, well, you should, but you didn't, or you're, you know, whatever that is. But whatever the other person is doing, that's not going to land.
No.
Because yeah. if I'm holding in place an orientation with this human being I call me, that is second to the relationship that I have with ego, my primary relationship with ego, then ego's not going to let any of that in.
Right.
You know, oh, that's nice. Oh, that's so sweet. Uh-huh. But does it land anywhere? Nope.
No.
Does it change anything? Does it no. give me a different feeling for this person, about this person, about this life? Nope. Nothing's going to change.
Yeah.
So if we want love, we got to build those love. What's the opposite of receptors?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. So,
no, I don't know. Givers, giving, yeah. whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be both ways, right?
Yeah.
It's what?
Broadcasting is the opposite
yes.
of reception, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So we have to be playing both of those roles.
Yeah.
Which is what awareness practice is all about.
Mm. Well, that took us to 2 minutes before the end of the show, Sherry. Shall we try to squeeze a caller in?
No, because we'll go over, you know we will.
Yes. Okay. Well, then we'll look mm-hmm. at our assignment for today. For the next 24 hours, get as comprehensive a picture as you can of what you hear in your head about this issue. Keep the issue in front of your awareness as you go about your day. Each time you become aware that attention is on the issue, notice what the voices are saying and jot it down.
Very good.
Mm.
Very good.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Well, then, till tomorrow.
Here we go. All right. Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody.
Go happy.
Go happy.